I'm going to ask you to find your way back to your seats. It is interesting to me as human beings, if we get tuned into something, if we get locked right into something, we are blind to everything else around us, aren't we? And it's amazing to me. Have you ever been driving, and you've been driving on the road for a long time, and then you go, huh, how did I get here? Okay, I'm a good company. I'm not the only person that does that. I'm glad. So the video, if we can hit that video, Tracy, kind of solidifies that point for us. Attention, people. Right? Oh, that is just proof that we have this locked-in mode. If we can pay attention to something that closely, we should be able to pay attention to the Lord, shouldn't we? Stand with me, please. We're going to read out of Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 this morning. Exodus 3, 1 through 4. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." So this is Mount Sinai. Okay, "There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it didn't burn up. So Moses thought, I'm going to go over and see this strange sight, why this bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.'" Father, in the next few minutes, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to learn to pay more attention to you. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us, challenge us, shape us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. it is so important for us to be able to pay attention. Again, the video proves to us that we can. We can get so locked in on something that we don't even know what's going on around us. It is significant. There is a significance to paying attention. When we get to Exodus 3, 1 through 4, we have a scene upon which the healing of Moses, because he is a wounded individual, enslaved Israel, and ultimately the healing of the nations, the healing of humanity, rests on this event. And up to this point, there have been no miracles in Moses' life at all. Exodus 1, Exodus 2, no miracles. You say, wait a minute. Wasn't Moses' birth a miracle? Wasn't the fact that he was rescued a miracle? Well, not in the technical sense of miracle. God, for there to be a miracle to take place, God has to suspend the laws of nature. Okay, so yeah, it's supernatural. So you have this suspending. Walking on the water is a miracle. God suspends. You guys don't walk on the water, do you? Regularly? Okay. So you do regularly? Okay, we have one person that regularly walks on water. All right. He suspends nature. The blind see. That is suspending the laws of nature. The dead are raised. That is what? Suspending the laws of nature. That is the clear definition of miracle. We don't have a miracle in chapter 2 when Moses is born and he is rescued. What we have is a person who's paying attention to their culture, devising a plan out of wisdom. And so, what does that teach us? Well, it's so important for us to grasp this idea that paying attention is vital to our spiritual well-being. God does do miracles, but what do we do when he doesn't? We know that a wise and desperate mother strategized a way to save her infant son from the violence that was going on in their culture. She saw and heard the evidence of the violence of the infanticide in Egypt on a regular basis, and she did what she could do. And it's interesting, it worked like so many of our desperate prayer-guided moments. This is kind of the Hail Mary of Moses' life, right? We're going to throw that long pass and hope that something happens. We're not sure that we're going to be any different than anybody else, but we're going to do what we can do. We know that God was working behind the scenes. He was giving wisdom. He was inspiring human strategies, but we see no direct intervention in Moses' life until the burning bush. There are no implications or hints in the unconsumed bush. What? When that bush is burning, that's a miracle. He looks at it. He's seen probably hundreds of other bushes burn and go to dust just like that. Here's one that doesn't get consumed. That's something a little different. Why is it significant? Because it amplifies the importance of paying attention. You know, when God's doing dramatic things, it's pretty simple to pay attention because there he is. There's a burning bush. He divides the waters. There's 10 plagues. I mean, that's some serious miraculous stuff, right? So all of a sudden you're going, oh man, God's there. It's easy to pay attention to that. But when stuff is going wrong, it's difficult to pay attention. And the fact that Moses' mother paid attention when everything was darkness amplifies the importance of paying attention at all times. She saw what was going on in her culture. She heard the devastation and the violence that was happening. And what she witnessed helped her to devise a plan to hide the baby as long as possible. She has this child. She notices for some reason that he's no ordinary child according to the New Testament. And she devises a plan. I'll keep him hidden as long as I can. I'll keep him quiet. We'll do whatever we have to do. But when he came to the point where she couldn't keep him silent anymore, what does she do? So, well, she pays attention. She goes out and she says, well, what I need to find is a compassionate Egyptian woman. I got to find a place where I can let this kid loose so this person can find the child. And her plan was so brilliant that she even offered to be what? The nurse of the child. So she'd get him right back in the house. She was paying attention every step of the way. She released the basket. She sent Miriam, who is what Moses' older sister, back to say, hey, would you like me to find a Hebrew woman to nurse this child? Absolutely. So bring him right back in the home. Amazing. She paid attention in the middle of her adversity, the strife, the anxiety that was going on. She did exactly what she should have done. She paid attention in everyday life when there were no miracles happening around her, when everything was violence and threat and death and grief, chaos. She was paying attention. We turn over to our text this morning. The burning bush incident amplifies the importance of paying attention for God's presence in our daily lives. And I'm going to emphasize this. consistently today paying attention for God's presence. You know that prepositions in a sentence make a difference. It's not paying attention to God's presence, it's paying attention to what? For God's presence. Is he there? We got to start there before we hear his voice. We got to know that he's here. So we have to pay attention for God's presence in our daily life. Question, what was Moses doing when he saw the burning bush? What's that? Tending sheep. He was at work. He was going to work. The same thing he'd been doing for how long? 40 years. Every day for 40 years, he took his father-in-law's sheep out to pasture. In this case, there must have been some sort of drought in Midian because he was all the way at Mount Sinai, probably 20, 30 miles away, because there was pasture land there. Okay, great. So he's doing what he's always done. He gets up every morning, he tends sheep. He gets up every morning, he tends sheep. That's 40 years worth of that. He's doing what he's always done. He wasn't praying. He wasn't worshiping. He wasn't in what we would call a sacred or holy place. At least at that point, it wasn't sacred to him. I mean, this is the mountain where he receives the Ten Commandments. Don't misunderstand me. But in his mind, that's not happened yet. So this is not a sacred place. There's no temple there. There's no tabernacle. There's no church facility. It was just Moses, grass, sheep, and a mountain. That's all that's there. This is his office space. This is his workplace. Listen, we love to gather for worship, and we enjoy singing, praying, listening, caring, fellowshipping. It is such a beautiful central part of what we do as Christians in developing our relationship with God. But from what we're observing in Exodus chapter 3, daily paying attention for God in our environments, our workplaces, neighborhoods, marriages, families, and our places of fun and recreation is equally important. He is there as much as he is what? Here. We just have to do what? Pay attention for him. Paying attention, according to Tim Sorens, is the starting and ending place for all Christian formation, and it's the primary path to becoming fully human. If you and I want to be healthier, more empathetic, more grounded people, then we need to become experts in the art of paying attention. That's where it starts. Have you ever been in one of those places where you're like, man, there's so many things going on in my life. I'm not sure what I need to do. And we go down this path. You go down that path. You go down 15,000. And you just finally, you've done it long enough. You've gone into so many paths. You've tried so many things. You just say, okay, there has to be something more fundamental than this that I need to deal with. This is the fundamental thing. Okay? American Christianity is incredibly complex and diverse. Go on Amazon today and search for theology textbooks. Go on Amazon today and search for church theory textbooks. Thousands of books come up. We know everything there is to know. We have all the science there is to know about church. Is there anything we don't know about it, right? There's all, oh man, I need a better devotional life. Go on Amazon and type that in. There's 1,000 books on how to have a better devotional life. No group of Christians in history has had as much information as we have to improve our lives. But there is one thing that matters. What's that? Paying attention. That is at the core of all of it. Are we paying attention? God decides he's going to rescue 2 million people from Egypt, and he starts out with a story of paying what? Attention. Paying attention. That's how vital it is to our lives and to our development. The next thing that we notice is this all-important connection. Pay attention and God will speak. Pay attention and God will speak. As we continue to observe this scene, we notice that Moses' encounter with God was conditional. I've never seen this before until I started meditating on this. It's conditional. Moses paying attention was necessary for God to actually come out and speak. Notice what Moses says. He sees it, and he says, you know, I should probably go over there and look at that thing and see what's there. I'm going to go over and I'm going to see this strange sight. Then the narrator tells us, who probably is Moses anyways, right? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from the bush. Because Moses went to look, God spoke to him. Because Moses went to look, God spoke to him. Now, we can only speculate what might have happened if Moses had been an American and he just shrugged his shoulders and turned the other way and walked on. Because, I mean, if you've seen one burning bush, you've seen them all. I've been there. I've seen it. I don't need to see it again. I've experienced it. Right? But I think there's a pretty good case to say that if he had done that, God would not have spoken to him. God would have moved on to the next guy. There would have been a different deliverer. Now, can I say that 100%? Of course not. But there is a connection between the fact that he was willing to pay attention to look. I'm going to go over and I'm going to look at this thing. That God said when he saw that he looked, God called to him. Moses paid attention. God spoke. You can't deny that. It's not an absolute rule. It's not a 100% all or nothing axiom. But don't you think that if you and I are attentive, if we're observant, if we're paying attention to God, that God might speak to us? Of course he's going to. Paying attention for God makes us open to the possibility that God is going to speak to us, and it gives us the opportunity to pay attention to God. Paying attention for God increases the probability that we're going to see God no matter where we're at. He's there. We're paying attention to him. And when we know that he's there, we can hear his voice. The question becomes, when God speaks, what should we expect? What's he going to say? What's he going to notice about us? How is he going to approach us? Well, when he notices Moses paying attention, God starts by calling his name twice. Moses. Moses. It seems really strange to us, but please remember this. Moses was already over there. He had made his move toward the bush, so God wasn't inviting him to come to the bush like Moses was standing over there ignoring it, like, I don't know what to do with this. He was already on his way. He was curious. God is doing something different than inviting him to the bush. And we don't understand that modern language, we don't do this. But there is something going on there. God's gone to all this bother of revealing himself to Moses through a burning bush that isn't turning to ash. Something has to be up here. Doug Stewart calls it a repetition of endearment. Moses. Moses. Calls his name twice. Moses knew what it meant because it was normal in his culture. To say a person's name twice was an implication of love. It was an invitation to friendship. He knew that whoever it was, by the way, he didn't know who it was, because later in the discussion, Moses says, well, who do I tell them has sent me? So he doesn't even know who it really is. He knows it's a supernatural event, but he's not sure who's behind it. But he knows this, what? Whoever is calling him from the bush loves him, cares about him, and is inviting him to friendship. Fascinating, isn't it? We see it throughout Scripture. So this is going to change the way you view some Scriptures. Acts chapter 9. Saul of Tarsus is on his way to Damascus to continue persecuting the church. Jesus shows up, and what are the first words out of his mouth? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It wasn't Saul! It was Saul. What? It's an invitation to friendship. Luke chapter 10, which we'll look at in a couple weeks here. Martha's all enraged. Mary isn't doing anything. She goes up and she indicts Jesus and says, you're a co-conspirator with Mary. You didn't tell her to do this. Why don't you tell her to do something? And what does Jesus respond? Shut up, Martha. Get out of my hair. You're an irritant to me. He says what? Martha, Martha. Moses, Moses. Martha, Martha. Saul, Saul. What? Come on and be friends with me. I love you. Now we understand that's not the only thing that God says. American Christianity would say, that's all that God says. We're friends of Jesus. This is cool, right? Because the next thing that he says to Moses is what? Stop right there. Take off your shoes. Don't come any closer. You're standing on holy ground. First lesson in holiness. Yeah, I'm your friend, but I'm not like the others. I deserve what? Reverence, obedience, worship. Yeah, we're friends, but we got to balance this out with who I am. Right? But think of that. Isn't it amazing to think that when we pay attention for God, he speaks to us, and his opening is friendship. It's care, it's love, it's concern. It's so important. And that leads us to one simple realization that we have to make. Author Ruth Haley Barton observes, that we are choosing to live lives that do not set us up to pay attention, to notice those places where God is at work. Rings true, doesn't it? We are not living lives that set us up to pay attention to God in our locations. We are setting ourselves up to what? Be distracted, to do our duty, to fulfill our obligations without a recognition that God is in those locations too. Question, how many distractions fill our lives? How many distractions fill our lives? Tons. I mean, we open with a video of people who are looking at their phones, walking into poles, pools, doors, traffic, vehicles, each other, right? Noises saturate our world. Things saturate our world. Duties weigh in on this conversation as well. We're surrounded by distractions. Question, do you think it would have been possible for Moses' mother to be just a little bit distracted by what was going on in Egyptian culture at that moment? She's hearing children dying every day at the sword of the Egyptians. I want to know how'd she hide herself for 9 months? Hello? How did she keep silent the birth process? I mean, she is on this. She's paying attention in the face of all of this darkness when babies are being brutally murdered all around her. She's paying attention. Moses was doing the job that he'd been going to every day for 40 years. He is on autopilot. He's competent. He doesn't need any upgrades to his shepherding skills. He's got this. And he still what? Paid attention. No matter the distractions, the devices, the media, the social media, the politics, the chaos, personal distress, relationship success, we can learn the art of paying attention. We absolutely can, but it begins with one simple realization. God is everywhere we look. Now, I need to define that a little bit. God isn't everything. You know, God isn't the tree and he's not the speaker. Okay, that's pantheism. That's insanity. But he's everywhere. He's everywhere we are. British poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning put it well, "Earth is crammed with heaven. And every common bush is afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes." Pay attention. The next line talks about picking blackberries. I couldn't relate to it, but because I think picking blackberries puts you in tune with God. But the reality is everybody else is just meandering around doing just sundry things, and they don't know what's going on because there's a grandeur around us that we need to pay attention to. We're busy. We have responsibilities. Life is full of distractions. There's heartaches. It has a share of joy and pain. But no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter what we're going through, God is there, and we do well to pay attention. I think it might be a good thing to remind ourselves before we open our eyes in the morning, before we exit the car and enter our places of work, commerce, recreation, whatever we're doing, God is here, and I am going to pay attention for him. God is here, and I'm going to pay attention for him. And again, don't miss the significance of that little preposition for. We want to rush to paying attention to God. We desperately want to hear his voice, but we're not going to be able to pay attention to God if we haven't paid attention for God. Why? Because we have to know that he's present. We have to recognize that he's here before we can hope to hear him speak. If I don't even know the fundamental idea that God is here, I'm not going to be watching for him. I'm not going to be listening for him. I'm not going to enjoy his presence in that location. We have to pay attention for God so we can pay attention, what, to God. We have to pay attention for him. Paying attention to is the easy part. Think about this. God is going to be in that dreaded meeting you're facing this week. He's there. God is going to be in that hospital room. He's going to be at that destination after the maddening rush. He's at the office. He's in the plant. He's at the warehouse. He's on the road. He's in your home. If we pay attention, we are going to notice him, and then we're going to hear him more frequently. We're also going to begin to enjoy the possibilities of his presence no matter where we're at. A couple weeks ago, I was sitting at I think it's the only coffee shop that's open these days in town. And I'm sitting next to a large picture window, and out of the corner of my eye, I see some movement outside. Okay, what's that? And it was a chipmunk, and he's just like, oh, you know, I'll go back to my reading and my coffee, and I'm just going to enjoy my, you know, my time there with the Lord. And I just paused for a minute. I was like, no. What? Pay attention. Do you realize that chipmunks have opposable thumbs on their front paws? Okay, yeah, you didn't, you know, because I didn't either. But how else do they do the stuff they do, right? And you just pause for a minute and you go, God, when he gets a good design, doesn't throw it out and start over. What does he do? He uses it prolifically. My hand, the front paws. Do you realize that a whale's front flippers have the same exact number of bones and structure as your hand does? Paws stand in awe, right? This is not evolutionary biology. It's creative biology. You got a great plan. Run with it, man. This is amazing. Stand in awe of the God who did this. There's such similarities between us, not because we evolved from each other, but because God designed a great design. And if you just pause for, you think that is the most, exactly. It's the most ridiculous place to pay attention to this tiny little creature that you'd rather, if you had it at home, get rid of it than observe it. But what? Still, God is there, and he can be paid attention to if he is paid attention for. We can hear his voice. And so today what we need to do is we really just need to gather and ask the Lord to help us to pay attention, to learn to see that he's everywhere we go so we can hear his voice more often. Simple prayer. Father, help me pay attention for you so I can pay attention to you. And here's the challenge. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back if they would. The challenge is this. We're not used to this. Simple words. Lord, help me pay attention more closely for you so that I can pay attention to you. And then what? Stop and let the Holy Spirit speak. You find this? When I go to prayer, sometimes I'm in a rush to speak. I've recognized that God is there because I'm there to pray, but sometimes I overdo it. And I need to stop and pay attention to the Lord once I recognize that he's there. Okay. So I'd like us to gather, if you're physically capable, I'd like us to gather here near the front. And let's just pray a simple prayer, in your own words, but with this idea. Lord, I want to be able to pay more close attention for you so that I can pay close attention to you. Would you join me and just let the Holy Spirit speak to us and challenge us and refresh us and renew us? Would you do that? Would you step out here and join me? And let's take some time and pray and say, God, help me to pay attention for you in my environments. Help me to pay attention so I can pay attention to you, Lord. And as you come, just begin to say that to the Lord and then pause and let him speak to you. Would you do that? Just pause and let him speak to you, to your heart. Let it overflow in praise because he's going to speak to you. Let it overflow in goodness to him. Thank you, Jesus. let's just lift our voices and give thanks to Him together. Lord, we just thank You. We praise You and we adore You. We lift You up this morning. We thank You for God who is constantly trying to us. You're constantly attempting to show Yourself present in our locations. We love what goes on here, Father. We long for it. We're thirsty for it. Lord, build that same thirst in us for our daily locations, that we would long to see You. Help us, Lord, to pay attention for You so that we can pay attention to You. Jesus, we need You. And thank You, Lord, for these moments. We praise You, God, that when we set ourselves to paying attention for You, You will speak. You'll speak to us. You'll challenge us. You'll shape us. Lord, You'll direct us. You'll give us wisdom and comfort and the provision that we need for each new day, the fresh mercies that are tailored to the day of that we are going through. Thank You, God, for Your kindness. Thank You, God, for that mercy of communication. Thank You, Jesus, that You revealed as the Word of God, the communication of God. You long to reveal Yourself. And we want to be people who are sensitive enough to pay attention to Your revelation, whether good times or bad times, whether chaos or order, whether flourishing and prospering or not. We want to hear Your voice. Lord, whether the circumstances we're going into are pleasant or not, we want to see You there and pay attention to You and hear Your voice in the middle of our circumstances. We bless You, Jesus. Let's lift our voices and praise Him. Would you do that with me? God, we praise You. We adore You. We magnify Your name this morning. We lift up holy hands to You. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. Go ahead and use your voice. God, we praise You. We adore You. We honor You this morning. We know that You are here. Thank You, God, for speaking to us already this morning. Thank You for speaking to us in the still small voice in these quiet moments. We bless You. We adore You. We honor You. We revere You, mighty God. There is no God like our God. We honor You today. Thank You, King Jesus. Lord, we leave this place with our hearts focused in on paying attention for You this week. Help us, Lord, to pay attention for You, that we can pay attention to You more completely than we ever have before. Bring it to our attention, Holy Spirit. Moment by moment, situation by situation, You are there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.